If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
John Richardson and Charlie McCann with his twitchy Wi-Fi in Gibraltar. Rico, how are you? How's your jab, first of all? Any repercussions from it?
No. Well, I had mine last Friday at Chester Racecourse, and I came in third in the in the 7 furlong handicap. So far, so good.
Brilliant.
Horses for courses, mate.
Right, let's just quit now. That was brilliant. Well, but no side effects or anything like that. And you'd recommend to everybody?
No. I did hallucinate the other day thinking Newcastle might win a game, but that's the only side effect I've had so far.
Well, I'm just looking at my screen here and it says our great friend Charlie McCann, he's probably overcome with Everton's victory over Liverpool. He's just left Wi-Fi. So we'll keep chatting until he comes in. Have you been anywhere this week? What have you been up to?
Yes, I decided to take myself off to Gresty Road on Tuesday to watch Crewe because, as you know, Rob, they've had a conveyor belt of youngsters over the years. And they've got
unbelievable.
Got Harry Pickering, the left-back, who's already been signed by Blackburn. He's back on loan. There's a lad there called Charlie Kirk, very left-sided, but excellent. It's good, and also I like the manager Dave Artell. He's real football. You know, he's old school, and have a good chat with him. And I was watching Accrington as well, who've done brilliantly under John Coleman. So it was just a night out to have a look at some decent young players.
I've got to be honest with you. I can't even remember where I was. I was somewhere. Oh, I was at AFC Wimbledon against Gillingham.
Yeah.
And I must admit, and I'm at Charlton Blackpool. I'm really looking forward. I've really enjoyed. I don't know whether it's a reaction to the Premier League on the telly, but I've really enjoyed the so-called lower league stuff.
I have over the years. I mean, it's you call it real football. It's away from the hype, isn't it? You know, and you do see that there are some good players coming through. Mm. What annoys me a little bit is now that you don't get the same number of scouts, you know, watching these games. I know you can't go into some games at the moment, but even in normal times, a lot of clubs now just rely on these DVDs of players. It's still for me about getting out there and watching them on a cold and blustery Tuesday night at Gresty Road, you know, whether players can do it or not. And as I said to you earlier, I think there's two or three players, certainly in the Crewe side, that can play at a much higher level.
I've seen Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon. I know Glyn Hodges isn't there. Mark Robinson's taken charge. There's a kid called Jack Radoni. He's only 19. Mm. You know, I've watched 4 games of Wimbledon this season, and you look and you think, God, this kid's got something. And so 89 minute in a backs to the wall, because that's the way Gillingham play. Yeah. So they play like Wimbledon of the 80s, to be fair. So this guy, Jack Radoni, 25 yards out, cuts inside, top corner, top bin with his left. He's got a wand of a left foot, and I keep thinking, what hasn't he got? He can beat a man. He's got a bit of pace. You know, and there's some blooming good players down there.
And once supporters come back to grounds, I think they're going to congregate round the lower league clubs, because a lot of people are getting a little bit fed up of the big money boys, you know, what goes on in the Premier League. And I think there is now a surge towards supporting your local club, you know, and which can only be good for football, because you get the usual gallows humour, don't you, what's going on. But it's good stuff. It's real. It's real. And I enjoy it.
Is he back? I think Gibraltar's back. Gibraltar's finest is back with us. Can we get a smile for the fact that Everton beat Liverpool for the first time in 720 years at Anfield? Carlo Ancelotti wants to extend his contract till the next millennium, and you're going to move into a spanking brand new stadium. Can we get a smile from Charlie McCann?
It was a great week. A famous week. I can hardly hear him, I'm afraid, mate, but it was, wasn't it?
Shall I carry on?
His Wi-Fi. Charlie, go out again and come back in again. His Wi-Fi. It's Gibraltar. There must be. I wanted to ask him about the shock on the rock or the whatever the fight's coming up as well. Charlie, get your Wi-Fi sorted.
But talking about Carlo Ancelotti, you know, he's we all knew what he could bring to Everton, and I think he's done that. Okay, you know, Charlie will have a go at the recent home games haven't been good, but that win at Liverpool just shows what they're capable of doing, and it proves that they're playing for him, that there's a good community spirit around the club. And this is great news about moving at last to the docks, and they're talking about the build being in just over 2 years, which is fantastic.
And also the fact, I mean, when Carlo Ancelotti came to Everton, eyebrows were raised. There's no doubt about it.
Well, certainly his
eyebrow. That eyebrow is the best eyebrow in football. But he's talking about extending his contract. There is that dreadful word, but there is, I know Charlie wouldn't agree, but there is a feel-good factor about Everton. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, you can't argue. Carlo Ancelotti is Everton manager. I imagine some Everton fans are still pinching themselves about that. You know, he's a proven manager. You look at his CV, it's probably one of the best CVs there's ever been, you know, as a player and as a manager. And also, look at how well-respected he is throughout the football world. You know, he always has a chat with people. You can tell that Pep Guardiola and people like that, you know, they're in awe of him. And Everton, well, fair dues to them. Fair dues to Farhad Moshiri, who's obviously spent big to bring him in. And now, of course, what they've got to do, and they've started doing it, is to back him with, you know, first-class players. And I think, you know, the future is bright for Everton.
His
Highness is back now, so you can ask.
Is he back?
He's back.
Can you hear us, Charlie?
I can. I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, absolutely. All good. We're just waxing lyrical about Everton.
Yeah, tremendous performance. Tremendous. A good time to play Liverpool. No question. A good time to score early on. You were kept expecting this sort of surge of Liverpool and it never materialised. And, you know, when Henderson went off injured and, you know, you just thought this was Everton's night. It definitely was a penalty. And, you know, there are whispers around sort of Merseyside. I don't know if it you know, a lot of people are saying that Liverpool wheeled Virgil van Dijk out at Anfield, and the plan was to go rushing towards him either at the end of the game or when they scored, all the players and the staff, as a sort of show of solidarity, you know, obviously against Everton. And it backfired, it would appear. Liverpool are out to eat money to finish in the top four. And they're only one of, I think, four teams who can win the Champions League. So they could, of course, qualify for the league that way. But these are worrying times at Anfield. I had to say about the manager, Jurgen Klopp's mother passing on. It's terrible news about Alison Becker's father drowning. You know, that it goes lurch. You know, it's lurching from bad to worse at Anfield at the moment. And they're not getting a break. But as an Evertonian, it was a famous... I still think we've got an awful lot of work to do, but... goodness me, we've got the right man in charge for it. We really have.
Rick, I was going to say to you that not as such, it seems glib to say it never rains, it pours, but for Liverpool this season, you know, when things aren't going right, you know, Henderson is out and it pales into insignificance. Just the season where, you know, Jurgen Klopp, as Charlie says, his mother dies. And this dreadful news about Alison Becker's father. I mean, it's just been terrible, hasn't it? Terrible.
Obviously, that puts football into perspective, doesn't it? Yet again. And our thoughts are with him. It must be shocking. And also, especially when you're on the other side of the world, when something like this happens, obviously, I imagine he's going to go back and, you know, he'll be away for a week or so. And you just feel for him. You feel for Jurgen, of course, losing his mother. On the football side of things, as you say, it goes from bad to worse. Jordan Henderson is out till April with this groin. He's had a groin operation, which he's going to be a huge miss.
Massive
miss, because, you know, his leadership qualities, I think, are underrated. You know, playing at the back, you miss his midfield drive. he misses leadership. So yeah, it is a blow. I mean, okay, they play Sheffield United, don't they, on Sunday? You expect them to bounce back there. If they don't bounce back there, they never will. But they're well off the pace, and as Charlie says, you know, they're now fighting to finish in the top four.
I think the highlight for me, I mean, there were some unbelievable goals. We talk about Dele Alli, Gareth Bale, and the English performances in Europe. But Diego Simeone's hair, to me, is, I don't know how many wonders of the world there are, but that's leapt into a wonder of the world. I mean, Joachim Löw of Germany always sort of seemed to me to be the man in pole position. But Diego, I mean, that it's just incredible.
The only thing is Diego's, he's not gelling it as much as he used to. You know, he did used to be like the man from CNA, didn't he, with all the gel hair. But yeah, I mean, hey, he can afford it. He's the highest paid manager in the world.
Is he really?
Yeah, I understand he's not too short of £25 million a year.
Almost as much as we're all on, eh, Charlie? Almost as much as Charlie won this week on right. A 25-1 each way shot.
No, hey, what happened to Shake Him Up Harry, by the way, whatever it was?
It missed the break and ran on really well, only into, I think, seventh or eighth. Don't give up on it, seriously. But it had to lead, and about six or seven others wanted to lead, and it was start. And don't think Daryl Jacob will think it was his finest hour, but don't give up on it. No, right. We did put up in the one of the eight ones, but no, please don't give up on that. On Shake Him Up Harry, probably bit, you know, he's running two big fields handicap, so no, he's quite good.
Listen,
he's quite good. Listen. Harry will get his don't worry about it.
Listen. We're going to have to give up on Charlie's Wi-Fi. He's absolutely brilliant, as usual, and we love him dearly. But his Wi-Fi is hopeless.
No.
Charlie, keep putting his thing. I'm going to go back to Rico because it's just...
Okay, man.
All right, I'll speak to you. Charlie, take care.
Am I now on overtime?
Yeah, you're on double bubble. What's he like? He gets a 25-1 each way shot and can't afford 10p for the meter.
I know. Well, the only thing was, you know, with Shake Him Up Harry, I told everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not the most popular.
Well, to be honest with you, that's racing for you, isn't it? That's why I'm not a gambler. Right, where are you the weekend? What have you got your eye on the weekend? I mean, Manchester, let's talk about Pope Pepper, as you call him.
Yeah.
I mean, astonishing, really. 19 wins. You know, he's reinvented the wheel again.
Well, he hasn't reinvented the wheel. He's just got more money to spend than anybody else. And to be fair, Manchester City have spent well, you know. But Pep himself very honestly said, and a fair dues to him this week, he was asked about, you know, what's the secret for your success at the moment, this fantastic run. And he did say, he said, we are able to buy the best players. And I give him credit for that. And, you know, fair dues to him. He coaches them well. He does improve players. Unlike Sunday at Tottenham, seems to go the other way with Mr. Mourinho at the moment. But yeah, Pep, I tip my hat to him. He's, you know, what I like about him, to be fair, is he goes for every competition.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't sully the FA Cup. You know, he plays his strongest side. He's done it with the League Cup because of the League Cup final. It's always a strong City side. You know, unlike some of his colleagues who sort of take a snoop at, you know, these competitions. So, no, fair dues to him.
It's too early to say, but Jesse Lingard's got to be up there with signing of the season, hasn't he?
Absolutely. This is a lad, obviously things went on at Manchester United, probably behind the scenes that we don't know. Certainly fell out with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But this is a lad who has got talent, who, to be fair to him, you know, went to West Ham and has delivered. It was like he's been frustrated. He's hardly had any football this season, and he's made up with it with a vengeance. And a lot of other clubs wanted to bring him in on loan. Leicester did, Newcastle did. He's gone to West Ham. Obviously, he knows David Moyes. David Moyes trusts him, and he's repaid it. And he's been the best player over the last few weeks. And West Ham have been, well, amazing, really, in many respects. I mean, who would have backed West Ham to be in the top four? You know, they've got a chance. You know, people keep on thinking they're going to slip out of it, but they're still there.
It's difficult to argue with Pep Guardiola as manager of the season, but if it's not him, it's David Moyes, isn't it?
David Moyes, yeah. I'm a big Brendan Rodgers fan. I think Brendan Rodgers, I know they went out as the Europa League. I don't think that's a bad thing for them, to be honest. I think I know it's a cliche, but I think they can now really concentrate on getting a place in the top four. You know, and they've got a good chance of finishing second. So I wouldn't rule out Brendan Rodgers as my manager here. But also, yeah, David Moyes has done a great job. And a lot of people think, you know, he was a busted flush. You know, he took on the poison chalice at Manchester United. Things didn't work out for him there, but there's reasons. He didn't get the players he wanted. And then, of course, he failed miserably, really, at Sunderland. I think that set him back. But he's reinvented himself. He did very well first time round at West Ham, and I thought was very unlucky not to be taken on. But they brought in Pellegrini, who I think spent, was it, 170 million? You know, wasted the money. David Moyes has brought the team together, playing good football. I think we've talked about him before. Rob, Declan Rice has been a major inspiration for that side. He's looking a real player. He's developed. They've managed to ward off the advances of Chelsea, you know, who Frank Lampard was desperate to sign him. Maybe that's gone now that Frank's gone. But yeah, David Moyes has done a terrific job, and I'm pleased because, you know David Moyes, I know David Moyes. He's great to deal with. I think he's had a bad press at times. I don't think people have got to know the real David Moyes. We're lucky that we do. You know, we've known him years, and he's a top football guy. I'm really pleased for him.
We can't finish without looking at the bottom. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I know Charlie would be going mad, but I think Sam Allardyce has really changed West Brom. I think West Brom will beat Brighton at the weekend. I think they've been I've watched them very closely and I've chatted to him. I think they've been unlucky. They were lucky against Burnley with 10 men. They got a draw against Manchester United. I mean, you've got Brighton who are, as we've said all season, brilliant to watch, but just can't finish. I mean, the Crystal Palace game was just unbelievable.
Did you see the game? I mean, that was
unbelievable. I like watching both sides. I like watching Brighton. I like watching Palace.
But these can't score goals, Brighton. I mean, you know, the chance after chance. There were 25 chances. And, you know, it's 1-1, isn't it? You're really disappointed for them. They're not going to get anything more than a point. And suddenly Christian Benteke comes up with a worldie at the end to snatch you. And that is football. I think it's the only sport that I can think of where, you know, it's just run off the ground, but you can still win games because this thing in football is putting that ball in the back of the net. And by the way, West Brom can score goals, and that you're right. That is a major difference. That's why they've got a bit of a chance.
Okay, we'll finish with Newcastle against Wolverhampton Wanderers. I'm looking at the table here. And the gap, you see, I think Fulham all along have had a chance again. You're 3 points ahead of Fulham. I think Burnley are out of it. It's Brighton, Newcastle and Fulham. With a late run from West Brom, winning 10 in a row.
On Sheffield United. No, I think with Newcastle, you know, as I keep on saying, if they play on the front foot, they've got a chance. If they try and be defensive, they've got no chance. I mean, on paper, you know, you don't fancy them against Wolves, but I've got a sneaking feeling they'll pull one out of the hat. They are capable of pulling one out of the hat. I fear for Brighton because, as we say, Rob, they can't score goals. You know they are great to watch. They come forward, you know, five or six players at a time, but they haven't got that clinical finishing power which you need. And Fulham, I still think in the end Fulham will miss out. I think Scott Parker's doing a hell of a good job. They've got a chance, obviously, but I think just the end of the day, well, fingers crossed, as far as Newcastle are concerned, it might be too much for them. But I'm at Leeds tomorrow, Leeds against Aston Villa. And
brilliant.
I can't wait for that one because Leeds have just been a breath of fresh air. Been fantastic to watch.
Rico, listen, thanks. A solo performance. No help from
our... Poor old Charlie.
Yeah, Mr. Gibraltar on the rock. Any chance? Rico, thanks a lot, mate. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, Rob. All the best.
Cheers, pal.